You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan. Matt is doing his day job. Hopefully, he'll get here in later for one of the other segments. But in the first segment, we have Michael Scholl, the Editorial Services Director. Did I get that right, Michael?
Director of Editorial Services.
It was close. I reversed right it. Words. Okay, yes, yes. We'll speak backwards from this point forward. So anyway, with AutoCom Associates, they're out of Bloomfield Hills, right?
Correct.
Okay. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is one of the things I'm going to be doing next weekend live, the management briefing seminars in Traverse City. For those of you who don't know, gosh, that's been going on for we were debating
years or more,
at least
right?
30 years.
Yep.
David Cole started that, good friend of mine and guy that I work with. He's turned it over to the Center for Automotive Research. Actually, U of M had it first because he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Center for Automotive Research, which I think is an adjunct, some U of M affiliation. I'm not totally sure what they're.
Okay.
But then they took it over. And what it boils down to, it's, it used to be where all the OEMs would get together with the suppliers, and it would be the only chance these suppliers had to rub elbows with the CEOs of GM or Ford or Chrysler or whomever, Toyota. And then it's kind of morphed over the years into lots of different things, hasn't it?
Right. It used to be that the big auto execs would come and they would talk to the suppliers as if they were at the Oracle and they were sitting at the feet and learning, right?
Yes.
And you'd have people like Bob Stemple, Jack Smith, Rick Wagner, or Mark Fields, William Clay Ford, Bob Eaton, Lee Iacocca, people like that that would come and that would speak. And they usually had a message or some kind of an announcement they were going to make.
Yep.
But more recently, it's more industry people on the supplier level and with mixed in with a few automaker executives as well.
And if you look at this year's agenda, which I have in front of me, the show is really an autonomous vehicle show this year, pretty much. I wouldn't say exclusively, but that's really what's driving everything.
Well, I think one of the purposes of the management briefing seminars is to talk about current issues and current technologies that the automakers and their suppliers need to be aware of. They bring out the crystal ball a little bit and they look a little bit toward the future in terms of what's coming down the pike and how they're going to deal with that. And I think they've done a marvelous job of doing it. Hence, that's why they've been around for 30 years
mm-hmm.
and why attendance seems to stay in that, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 level. But this is very, very heavily weighted towards technology, autonomous or electric vehicles, and that sort of a thing. The Industry 4.0 kind of a focus with the Internet of Things and all. So technology really is front and center.
Well, and then they have it at Traverse City at the, what is it, the Bear, right? Jack Nicholas designed that course. So part of what's going on there is you're in beautiful Traverse City at the end of July or the first part of August, which is the time to be there. I can't think of, because you wait a couple more months, you don't want to be there, it's kind of cold, and then you get to play golf, right?
There are worse places to be in the first week of August than there.
And speaking of golf, we're going to segue now into some of your clients. You have a client that's sponsoring one of the golf outings. I don't know if there's multiple ones, but certainly the one on Sunday, right?
Right. Well, the key golf outing that's associated with the management briefing seminars occurs on Sunday afternoon, which is a great way for people to, as they roll into town, to get loosened up a little bit, to do some networking, to enjoy a little bit of camaraderie, maybe play a little bit of golf. And so that will happen on Sunday at 2 o'clock. They're going to play the Wolverine Golf Course there at the Grand Traverse Resort. And our client Freudenberg is going to sponsor that. So we're excited about that. Unfortunately, I don't get to go. My boss, Larry, will be there, and I'm sure he'll play well and play around.
Larry Weiss.
Larry Weiss, yes, the president of AutoCom Associates.
Yes, former Ford PR, right?
Yes, for 20 or 25 years before they formed the company, yep.
Yep, yep, okay. So let's talk a little bit about AutoCom Associates. Now, as a disclaimer, I do work with AutoCom. I can do it. AutoCom Associates. But why don't you explain what you guys do for the audience?
Sure. AutoCom Associates is a marketing and public relations firm that's based in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. We work with a broad range of clients in the industry. Obviously, we're in Detroit, so we do have a lot of automotive clients. But we have a broad range of international clients as well. We work very closely with Mahle. We also work with a German company called Inficon. There's an Italian company called Alcantara that produces materials for interiors of vehicles that we work with as well. They serve other industries too. We work with Chassis Brakes International, which is the foundation brake business that Bosch sold a few years ago. Chassis Brakes International provides braking systems for many of the vehicles in the world today, and they're producing or preparing to produce vehicles or brakes for, autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles, which mm-hmm. will be slightly different.
Yep.
And HBPO, which is the leader in developing and supplying front-end modules to the industry worldwide. That saves a lot of weight and a lot of money for automakers.
And they're doing so well, I know, because on my website a week ago, we published a story saying that they're expanding. They're going to be opening another Michigan plant. I don't know if we have a location or anything like that yet.
Not yet. They're scouting locations.
Michigan.
Right?
Okay. Probably Southeast Michigan, I would assume, right?
That's a good assumption, I think.
Yeah. You know, you want to be in an arc there, right?
Well, if you know what they do in terms of just-in-sequence shipping and that sort of a thing, they have to be within a close proximity to the assembly plants that they provide componentry for.
Right.
So, yeah, you can read between the lines on
that. Yes. Well, we don't know which county, but we, you know, it could be Oakland, could be Macomb. Who knows,
could
right?
Could be. But, that's right.
So then they supply, who do they, I'm trying to remember who all they supply.
Oh, they say supply a lot of people around the world. They supply a lot of people in Europe, obviously. They supply BMW, mm-hmm. they supply Mercedes-Benz, they supply Ford, they supply FCA. They've got a really broad range of clients that they supply.
And a new boss. I didn't realize that Diana, I went and did a little research on it. She just took that position a few mm-hmm. months back, right?
Right. She's been in finance and in that sort of a realm with not only HBPO, but also many years with Johnson Controls.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's poised to do some wonderful things.
Diana Menino. I've got some videos of her up on my website.
People should check those out.
Yes. And then she's going to be up at the big shindig next week. And I think we'll be shooting some more video with her. I'm not sure yet.
So. Right. I think we've arranged to have you meet with her as well. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As well as I think you're going to talk to the Freudenberg gentleman.
Yep.
Whose name is Klaus Mollenkamp, who is the CEO of Freudenberg Sealing Technologies.
Yeah. Yep. And
he has a spot on one of the DS's.
And to do one of my own shameless plugs. That's where we're launching MI Tech News TV, which is essentially we're taking all these videos, parking them in one spot where you can find them easily rather than scattered all over the place. And then we're just calling it a channel right now. Later on, it'll be a live streaming channel, but we're still getting that software all worked out. So you got to start somewhere. So we'll start with what we can handle first, right? Tell those darn developers to get all the rest of the stuff done.
Well, that's on your end of the thing, but we're very excited to see that kick off and to happen.
Yes.
And we look forward to working with you in helping to make that successful.
And we just had a rare appearance in the studio, Matt Rausch himself.
Good afternoon, Mike. Nice to be here finally.
Yes. No, he was running a little late. That darn boss of his, just because he pays him, he thinks he can tell him what to do, right?
Yeah, you know, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, good. So, yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been up to Traverse City for a few years because I look at the agenda and I was, but this year, dang, it's right in my wheelhouse. Everything is technology. I mean, you got connected and automated vehicles. You've got changing manufacturing, which would be 4.0. You've got all sorts of really connected. Well, that's all. You got self-driving vehicles. You know, whether you need a license to drive it. That's a good question. Why would you need a license, driver's license, to drive a self-driving vehicle when the vehicle's doing the driving? I mean, these are kinds of interesting issues, yes?
Is that a chicken and egg thing?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. The other one would be insurance. Yeah, we've had this debate. If a self-driving vehicle that you are not driving gets in an accident, who's liable? You know, that's a tricky one, right?
Yeah, the question becomes if you don't own a vehicle and you're using vehicles that are you're renting or leasing,
oh, yeah,
you know,
and,
or ride sharing or whatever, Do you have insurance? Do you have to have insurance to cover what happens in that kind of a situation?
Do you pay for insurance as part of the vehicle, you know, usage agreement or
yeah,
not?
Well,
or,
yeah, like you know, when you rent a car,
right, yeah,
and they're trying to sting like you for waiver, $19 right? a day or whatever it is, you know?
And maybe that's the way it works. I don't know. Well, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it evolves.
Well, these are some of the issues that will be explored. And certainly when I do my segment next Monday at 2 o'clock, I won't have a chance to get in way very far into these yet, but I can kind of talk about what's happening up there and the fabulous golf outing on Sunday, although by the time I get there, and I don't
You
golf.
Can meet him at the 19th hole?
Yes, that would be good. I could do the 19th hole. I'm very good at that. So
yeah, you always hit a birdie at that one, right?
So, okay. Try not to, right? Yeah, hit it with the glass is the problem, right? So it'll be good. And then next week, Matt takes over the show. He's going to have three LTU segments.
Oh, where's that bell? Okay.
Shameless plug for Matt.
Yep. We're going to have the football coach come in, talk about our new football program. We're going to have Kevin Finn, our dean of students, come in, talk about all the high-tech touches in the new dorm for 300-plus that we're opening next month. And then we're also going to have Dr. Sabrina Collins, who's been on the show several times, talk about our Marburger STEM Institute, which is an attempt to try to help fill the STEM job pipeline by engaging K-12 students and telling them why STEM careers are fun and rewarding.
Yes, there you go. Something to think about. So, but getting back to Autocom Associates, so what kinds of stuff are you typically dealing with your clients? I know what I've dealt with, but I'm sure there's other things that I haven't particularly been involved in with video anyway. So what kinds of subject matter are you working with with your clients?
Well, you know, like I say, we have a broad range of clients that do a lot of different things. One of the big issues that we're working toward is how they integrate into autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. Most of them have been involved in the industry for decades. We have one client that has been around for 160 years. They predate automobiles, which mm-hmm. is very interesting.
And who is that? Can
this
I ask?
Is Kiekert, a company called Kiekert in Germany.
Okay.
They supply latches and locking systems for the industry, and they probably did it for railroad coaches and trains, as well as horse-drawn carriages,
yeah, right
along the way.
Yeah, the coach industry before it was the car industry, right?
Exactly. And yeah, and so.
Oh, that was fun.
Did I say the magic word?
Somebody calling in, I think. You know. where were we? Oh, yes, Kiekert. Yes, remember them.
Right. So, you know, they've got some interesting things that they're doing. But the idea with all of our clients that are in the auto industry is, how does it relate to this future technology of autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles?
Okay. So you got about 2 minutes left in the segment. Talk a little bit about how folks can find out more about Autocom Associates.
So Autocom Associates is located in Bloomfield Hills. If you want to reach us, you can go to our website, which is www.usautocom.com, or you can call us at 248-647-8621, or I don't know that I can provide an email over the airwaves here.
You can if you want.
I can.
If they want to reach out to you directly.
And if they want to reach me directly, they would type in mscholl, that's mscholl, at usautocom.com. Send me a note.
Okay. And again, I'll be at the management briefing seminar in Traverse City next week. And we'll be doing a lot of videos and reporting about all this exciting auto technology, which will be part of the launch of the new MI Tech News TV channel, which not streaming yet, but that's coming. But you got to start somewhere, right?
Sweet. Do you have to ring that bell again?
Oh, yeah. That's my shameless plug.
Okay.
There we go. All right. So great segment, Michael Scholl, Autocom Associates. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are indeed listening to the M Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to Payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're in the Podcast Detroit studios where we have calling in, not sure where you're at, but Ahmed Alomari from Cyberdoor. Where are you today?
In the Southfield.
Ah, okay. He's out of Southfield today. All right. He's a big Oracle user, actually provider. He's going to be talking about autonomous database clouds. And so what is that all about, Ahmed? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So the Autonomous Database Cloud is the new release of the database, which is cloud hosted and provides a tremendous amount of features, which we'll be talking about shortly. But essentially, the Autonomous Database Cloud is sort of migrating to the cloud. In the last segment, we talked about the lift and shift, where people would migrate their existing Oracle on-premise database to the Oracle Cloud infrastructure. And along with that, you essentially get the autonomous database cloud, which is essentially, kind of a self-driving, self-healing, so that the customer can focus on, running their business, running their applications without having to do a lot of the on-premise, maintenance and admin tasks that are required with an on-premise solution.
All right. What are some of the major advantages of this product, of the Oracle Autonomous Database? I guess it's higher availability would be one of them.
Definitely. Higher availability. So in usually when we talk about higher availability, there's kind of two camps. There's the unplanned downtime and then the planned downtime. So within the unplanned downtime, which we typically consider, crashes or when the system essentially aborts unexpectedly due to, hardware failures, sometimes disks crash, memory fails, processors fail, network cards, things like that. And so within the cloud infrastructure, you essentially would get a clustered solution or using a rack, Oracle Rack, which is a real application cluster, to basically cluster your database so that, for example, if one node or one component were to fail, the database would be, transparent to the application and transparent to the users, would continue to function, continue to operate, and would, fail over to the remaining nodes within the cluster without impacting the end users or the, applications or transactions. And there's also a secure backup layer, which is occurring in, behind the scenes, which of course continues to, back up the database to a zero loss data appliance to ensure the integrity of the database. And in case a restore would be required, that it would be able to, restore the database without failure. And one component of that also is Active Data Guard, which is another component of the database that essentially synchronizes all the transactions. So within the database, most database systems provide some kind of a journal or redo log, as it's called. And Active Data Guard essentially ensures that redo log is being synchronized to a backup system, for example, kind of a primary, secondary, so that if anything were to happen in the primary system, all the changes that were made would be in sync with the standby or failover database as well. And then on the planned downtime part of it, which is where, for example, people would schedule downtime, such as applying patches or doing hardware maintenance or things like that. So within the confines of that, because you're running in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure, the other nodes, because the patching and upgrades would be done in a rolling fashion. And so the services would be, maintained without, having to incur downtime for the application or for the users. And one of the also critical components of the Autonomous Database, again, within the higher availability, the theme is essentially the online patching, which is, of course, a big thing. So today, again, one of the biggest inhibitors for applications and even, customers running those applications is really the downtime that they can manage to secure in order to apply system updates. And some of these, some of these things are critical. For example, when you get security, or vulnerability attacks, for example, and there's a known fix, often it's a challenge to be able to get the downtime for the system to be able to apply those fixes to those vulnerabilities. In fact, there was a recent study done recently that a lot of the, you know, cyber attacks and vulnerabilities are not new issues. It's just that the customer didn't have the time to apply that patch, you know, which was already a fix for a known issue. And so with the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, as part of high availability, you have online patching framework, which is extremely beneficial because, you know, the database, again, can continue to run, can continue to service the applications that, you know, the businesses need without having to take a downtime. So that, that patching framework can essentially apply the patch hot so that the, you know, database and applications continue to function. So that, that's definitely a very key.
All right. So, you know, basically what the cloud means is someone else's computer. So let's talk a little bit about assurances to clients, about security with these cloud systems.
Sure. So one of the benefits, you know, of course, you know, with the Oracle Database Cloud is really the kind of, you know, self-securing, self-healing component of it. And again, managing, you know, database security on premises is quite a challenge and quite an effort. In terms of just, you know, keeping up with not only the, you know, patching side of the house in terms of the vulnerabilities that come out, but also checking to make sure that, you know, users don't have, you know, excessive privileges that they shouldn't have, for example, or looking for, you know, GRC types of check, you know, governance risk controls, make sure that those segregation of duties are in place, looking for, you know, compromises of data, all those things that, you know, normally go in with a security system in place. And so as part of the Oracle Cloud, you know, you have the self-healing, which is essentially there's a database firewall component, which is a new component, which will automatically be the first line of defense in detecting and preventing, you know, unauthorized access, looking at, you know, for example, suspicious access activity, preventing SQL injection, which of course is another source of attacks, looking at, you know, suspicious SQL statements, because it's able to, the database firewall, since it's a component of the database itself, it's able to trap it, you know, at the lower layers. It's also able to, you know, detect patterns, for example, you know, users that may be logging in remote locations when, you know, that access wasn't authorized, or it's kind of an abnormal access from an offsite region. And it can automatically, you know, shut down access for that user. So the self-healing really and self-securing is a key feature that will help, you know, maintain the security of the database. And there's also a new feature called a dynamic data masking, where depending on, you know, certain data that's being returned to the application, such as, for example, social security number or date of birth, things like that, those can be data masked dynamically by Oracle before even returning it to the application, so that the application doesn't have to make changes to do that.
Interesting. I was looking at your sheet of some of your the features, and there's one I'm not familiar with. What is native database sharding? What is that?
Sure. So sharding is a concept where
I thought it was a typo. I thought it was supposed to be sharing. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sharding is basically a concept where instead of having a, you know, a single, you know, large database, which may contain all the data, you know, for certain scenarios, sharding is a way to basically, you know, federate that database, kind of, you know, decentralize it and have, you know, there's different techniques, you know, different sharding techniques. But one technique, for example, would be, you know, region specific. So for example, if you're, you know, selling, if you're, you know, selling some products and those products, for example, are very region specific, which they typically, you know, sometimes tend to be. And so the database itself, instead of having one big database in a data center in, you know, Chicago or Detroit, for example, you would have multiple databases, maybe one in Los Angeles, one in, you know, Chicago, one in Detroit, one in New York. And essentially the data that's relevant to those local regions would be inside that sharded database. And there would be what's called a shard key, which would be used to kind of load balance. So for example, if I log in and, you know, I'll give you a real good relevant example that I had to deal with, is I want to, you know, purchase a snowblower. So that's probably of minimal use to somebody in California. But obviously in, you know, Midwest, it's a hot item, you know, during the winter season. Mm-hmm. And so if I were to log in, the database would automatically look at the sharding key, and say, okay, I'm going to route this request to the Midwest database. And then source, you know, the catalog and price information from that database. I don't really need to hit the, you know, California database, for example. So that's what sharding is essentially kind of, you know, taking a larger database, breaking it up into, you know, smaller databases, spreading it out, usually geographically. But then you want, you necessarily as the application don't want the headache of having to deal with all those individual databases and having to establish individual connections and, you know, fire queries and aggregate the results. You let the sharding layer, which is a feature of the database, handle that. And it's smart enough to know, you know, based on what's called the sharding key or sharding group, where to route the request.
All right. So it's literally a shard like a broken piece of glass then. I get it now. Okay.
Exactly.
does it use AI to sort this out, or what does it use?
Yeah, it uses some native algorithms to basically, based on the sharding key, and then where the request is coming from, to be able to route it to the correct request. And then basically that when you define your schema or your, you know, your data model layout, you would define essentially what constitutes the key, the sharding key.
All right. There's one other bit of jargon here I wanted you to define, and I think we've got a little over 3 minutes left. It's something you put here called mem-optimized row store. Talk about that, please.
Yeah, correct. Sure. Oracle has a new feature called in-memory feature. And this mem-optimized row store is an additional feature on top of that, which is available in the database cloud service. And essentially what in-memory store does is essentially caches the table in memory so that the access, instead of having to read every block from disk, for example, and incur the latency of disk I/O, it can basically do a memory scan, which would take seconds for, a very large, say, 100 gigabyte table. Instead of taking, minutes and hours having to do, scan that table on disk, it would scan it in memory. And that's useful for, analytics scenarios or, roll-ups, reporting, data reconciliation, for example. And so what the mem-optimized row store does is another optimization on top of that in-memory feature, which allows you to essentially define a table at the table level. So, for example, in business applications, we have a lot of frequent lookups, for example, tax lookups, country lookups, state lookups, zip code lookups, things like that, what we typically call lookup data. Those are typically, accessed millions of times a day, on a busy system. And instead of incurring the, latency of having to read it from disk, execute SQL and go through that whole SQL execution layer, we're able to essentially, quickly do an in-memory hash lookup, which would, of course, take microseconds compared to seconds of executing SQL and, sourcing those lookup blocks from the table itself. So essentially, there's a new table-level attribute, which is the mem-optimized for read, and then the database automatically maintains that table in memory using a hash index-like structure. And so that when you say, look up the country codes, it's a direct hit on that hash lookup, which would, again, take microseconds as opposed to, seconds. So it's just basically a high-end optimization for, transactions that do a frequent amount of lookups and really, want to deliver the best performance at high latency. If you think about, for example, a lot of those online websites, they literally have, millions of users hitting the sites, all doing the same, types of things in terms of looking up the data. And so, optimizing that can mean the difference between supporting a few hundred users on your website versus, supporting millions of users.
All right, Ahmed, we're at the end of the segment now. We've got about a half a minute left. Just tell us real quick how people can get a hold of you and CyberNOR.
Sure. One other thing I wanted to just plug as well is we have a CyberNOR is hosting an Oracle Lunch and Learn event at our campus here in Southfield. It's on August 14th, and it's at 12 noon. And we'll be serving lunch. There's no cost associated with it. You just need to register for the event. And we'll be talking about a lot of these technologies in detail. So we invite everyone to join our Lunch and Learn event. Again, that's August 14th at noon. If anyone has any questions, you can definitely reach out to us. Our website is www.cybernoor.com. That's C-Y-B-E-R, N as in Nancy, OOR.com. And our phone number is area code 925-924-0400.
All right. Thanks very much, Ahmed Alamari from from CyberNOR. Sorry about that. We'll be right back with our next segment of the M Squared TechCast in just a moment. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Right now, we are waiting for our old pal, Tel Gannison from Ty Detroit, to call us in and talk about TyCon Detroit 18, which is coming up in October.
Oop,
and
I bet
this is him right now. Yes, those are the dulcet tones of Skype there. Tel, are you with us?
Yes, very much so.
All right, good afternoon. Right. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, glad to be here, Matt and Mike.
That's it, the M Squared boys. Yes,
M Squared.
That's us. All right.
I'm
so
with the M Squared gang.
Yeah. So we just introduced you, and we were just starting to get into. I guess we could talk about. Let's start with TyCon Detroit first, and then we can talk about the Entrepreneur Boot Camp. I can do it.
Or Buddha Camp.
Buddha Camp.
Okay.
Afterwards,
it'll teach you how to be very serene while starting your business.
You're
right.
Calm. You know, sitting in the lotus position. So the TyCon Detroit is October 5th, and I know there's a lot. I know because you and I have talked, but there's been a lot of changes from the way you did it. Was it last December or November? I can't remember exactly.
Last November. Yeah, we did at downtown Detroit at the Renson Marriott.
Yes. So now you're going to be at the Novi Expo Center. The name keeps
Suburban Collection.
Thank you.
Suburban Place.
Essentially, the Novi Expo Center with a new name. So you're going to be doing that in October, on October 5th, and instead of a two-day show during the week, it's going to be a one-day Saturday show, right?
Yeah, it's a one-day Saturday show on a Saturday, but then the previous day we're going to have this boot camp. So technically 2 days, but the actual conference itself is just a day.
Okay, so let's talk about the Buddha Camp there. I'm kidding. That's going to be with Tech Town, right? The folks in downtown Detroit.
Yes.
All right.
So the boot camp is happening in Tech Town, Detroit, of course, on Friday, the October the 5th. And so one of the things that we actually wanted to do was because based on the feedback we received, hey, you know, we come to the conference, but I think if we could, you know, have a lot of, you know, information before we get there, it could go a long way. So that's why we added this component of boot camp in there. So to get the entrepreneurs get ready. And then when they come into the conference is a lot more valuable to them. It's like putting them on steroids. And now they're all primed with knowledge. They're primed with all the information. So then it's easy to network, easy to spot the investor. And so the conference, you know, they get more mileage out of the conference. And that is why we added this bootcamp component a day prior to the conference.
And the deadline is actually coming up very quickly. It's Sunday, August 19th, if you want to apply, right?
That is right. And that is where we need the help from you, Matt and Mike, the M Squire. If you could put a shout out there and get all the entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs in our community to take advantage of this.
Is there a particular type of entrepreneur you're looking for or just tech entrepreneurs in general?
I think tech entrepreneurs, I think any entrepreneur for that matter, but you know, mostly, you know, being a tech organization, we focus on tech, but I think it's open to all, anyone who wants to pursue entrepreneurship. It could be even retail. They could take advantage because the building blocks are the same. Whether you are a tech, whether you are a retail, whether you are an agri, it doesn't matter. It's all the same, right?
Yep, it is. And,
and so,
you're calling this Be Investable, right?
Yes. So end of the day, you know, you could make pitches all day long. You could talk, you know, keep creating business plans all day long. But I think if your company itself is not investable, then you're not attractive to an investor. And ultimately, that's what the entrepreneurs are looking for. So as part of going through the boot camp, you become investable. So the So that's why we got, you know, Michael Melfi from the Be Investable to really take, lead this bootcamp for us. So in the end, you become investable.
All right. And you've got to, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to circle back and go back to what's going to be on the agenda at Tycon Detroit. I know the focus is artificial intelligence. Tell us a little bit about what areas you're looking at that artificial intelligence is going to ignite and disrupt, as you folks like to say.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, the there's a lot of changes that are happening around us. I mean, especially we are at the cornerstone of the fourth industrial revolution. And we in Detroit, we've been, you know, so much focused on auto and all that. But I think what we are trying to do is, you know, go beyond the auto into healthcare. We have fintech, as well as how to market to companies using artificial intelligence. So that is why, obviously, we want to ignite to disrupt, but it's all about artificial intelligence. And we believe that's where the opportunities are there going forward, especially, you know, in Michigan. I think if you look at, according to Gartner, by end of 2025, so we'll have a net job gain of about 2 million jobs. But in the short term, we may have a lot of job losses, especially in the manufacturing sector. And so that's what we are trying to bring awareness of this AI to the Michigan and expand beyond our auto footprint and healthcare footprint.
Okay.
And so those are the tracks that we are trying to focus on.
Sure. So let's get back, continuing on in the vein of the event itself. Just walk people through the start time, what's going to go on, how many tracks is going to be, that sort of thing.
So let me walk through the overall the structure of the Tycon itself, Mike. Obviously, we have tracks, right? So the key tracks would be, like I said, one focus mainly on marketing using artificial intelligence. So the name of the track would be customer-centered artificial intelligence. Okay. The second track would be health tech. Third track is really facial recognition, voice assistant, and even, you know, we are talking about emotional recognition as well. And then the last topic is really fintech. Then we would have grand keynote speakers. We'll have two grand keynote speakers in the morning and two in the afternoon. So we'll have four grand keynote speakers that will keynote. Then we have, obviously, Expo, like any other conference. Then we have TIE 20 program. Where we would, identify and award the top 20 top 20 companies in five different areas of artificial intelligence. It could be even IoT, it could be sensors, it could be health tech, it could be fintech. So that's where the 20 companies will be showcased. Then we also have a competition. This time we are focusing on artificial intelligence. So there will be a competition where people, top six companies in the region will come and present, and then we'll go in. It's more like a Shark Tank, much like what we did at the IoT Tech Connect earlier this year. So now then we have, you know, then we have networking, and we have all the other things that you would see in a typical conference. So I think, so to summarize, the agenda is really key tracks, keynotes, boot camp, TIE 20, and AI competition. And then probably in the end, we'll close it up with a dance. So I invite you guys to the dance floor, okay? So last time you guys did not show up. This time I want you guys on the floor.
Matt is quite a dancer, too.
No,
they call
one,
him Twinkle
no
Toes.
To, yeah, no one needs to see that.
Oh, okay. Just,
get your moves going, guys.
Okay. He does the moonwalk like nobody else.
Yeah, and you can time it with a sundial. That's right. Okay.
All right. So in a nutshell, that's what we are doing. But, more importantly, you know, the goal here is to bring the entrepreneurial awareness and really get more entrepreneurs get engaged and really showcase what the artificial intelligence is doing to the landscape. And instead of people getting scared, I may lose a job and whatnot. But I think what we wanted to showcase is really there is a huge opportunity. There's actually a job demand to come and really get the students and entrepreneurs and really understand what changes and how they can prep themselves to the changing economy that's unfolding rapidly.
Huh.
right? I mean, that's what I mean. You know, I keep hearing from a lot of people, oh my God, this artificial intelligence is going to take away the jobs. I'll be losing the jobs. The machine is going to
take over the world, one or the other.
Yeah,
right?
Take over us.
Yeah.
None of those things are not happening. I think the key message is really how can the humans and the machines work together and collaborate in this new economy? And that's really what we are trying to showcase in this TICON.
So we don't have to worry about Skynet becoming sentient and the Terminator showing up or anything like that, right? So
No.
Okay, good. Good to know.
I can use it for my movie, but certainly not for TICON.
Ah, okay. I'm sure there's a fee for attending. How much do you what do you charge your folks to attend?
I think it's being a nonprofit organization, so we are not charging a whole lot. So I think it's in the website. It clearly spells out the one-day pass for member pricing and non-member pricing. So it's on an average, it's about $100 if they do an early bird registration.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are a nonprofit, some of them we subsidize. The food alone is going to cost that much. So it's really, we are just promoting it. It's just $100. So that way we regulate the attendance. You know, otherwise everyone will show up. So that's really what it is. So.
Yes, I remember doing another event where we just didn't even cover the cost of the food. We didn't think that went through too well, but live and you learn. So, but that's good.
Yes,
and of course you have lived and learned. I mean, you and I downloaded with me, and we discussed what worked and what didn't work in your previous event, and that's why you've made all these changes, right?
It is because what happens with the times have changed. And gone are the days of 2, 3, 4 days of conferences. And I think, you know, people, we live in a Twitter world. Everyone wants to, and even a Snapchat world. So everything has to be so quick and they're out of there. So that's why we took them to a day. And hopefully we can provide the same content and same experience. And still they can walk away with networking with real people in real time. That you cannot get virtually, though, right? So that's really, you're still trying to keep those elements, but condense them and really put only the elements that really work and that really added value to people.
Now, I can't remember which all events you had last November, but you clearly have dropped some of those. Which ones did you decide not to go with second time around?
I mean, a lot of those things, you know, like very specific cryptocurrency, this and that. I think people are getting that online, so we are not adding those elements in there. So basically, we just listen to people, what they are looking for and where we had the maximum traction. And so we said, okay, let's do those things in there. So we dropped a lot of other panels, like, for example, Women's Forum. One of the things that we are in Tri Detroit, we are passionate about getting women, but we are hard to get them into a conference.
Yeah.
Still, the participation is so, abysmal. So we don't have enough critical mass. And same with the youth entrepreneurship. As much as we say we want the youth to get excited and be part of it, we are not finding them there. So we dropped the youth entrepreneurship. We dropped the women entrepreneurship. And some technical tracks also that did not see the traction, we dropped them.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are trying to do, we are trying to, you know, right size the conference in proportion to what the wants and the needs of the community.
Okay, we got about a. Whoop, Matt, go ahead.
Just going to ask you basically the same question you're probably going to ask, Mike. We're under a minute left.
Yes.
And so if people want more information about how to get to TICON 2018, where do they go online?
Yeah, so they go to ticondetroit.org, and it's a user-friendly website. It gives walks them through step-by-step all the way from agenda, and the registration is there. There's a big red button in there, register now. So I want all of your listeners hearing, go immediately jump onto the website, register now, and by the time you're done, I should see at least 100 registrations.
Well, absolutely.
Oh, we
yes,
sure hope
yeah.
so.
Can I count on that, Hem Squire?
All right.
We'll do our best.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tel Gannison from Tai Detroit and, of course, Kyba.com. That's KYYBA.com. About TICON Detroit coming up in October. It also includes an entrepreneur boot camp. Good stuff.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So we'll be right back soon with the next segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're indeed listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with today's final segment of the M Squared TechCast. We have with us today Martin Dober, Senior Vice President, Venture and Managing Director, Invest Detroit Ventures. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, no problem. You're here today. We'll get to a little bit of background about Invest Detroit in a minute, but you're here today mostly to talk about the Accelerate Michigan business competition. So let's start with what you're looking for and when people need to apply by to help win up to $1 million.
I think grand prize is $500,000.
$500,000, and a startup can make that last for a long time. They can do a lot with that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the ninth year of the Accelerate Michigan Innovation Competition. It's a statewide program that's really targeted at technology companies and technology companies that are just getting started. Gives them not only the opportunity for prizes, but gives them exposure to the investment community, to other entrepreneurs, to industry experts and partners. And so it's kind of a must attend event in the tech community in Michigan, and we're just pleased to be offering this program again for the ninth year. It's our fifth year running Accelerate Michigan, and it is open for applications right now. So we're encouraging, you know, any technology-based company to go to the website at acceleratemichigan.org. It literally only takes 2 minutes to register for the competition. And registration is absolutely free this year, which is something new. So we're encouraging companies, technology-based companies, to go to the website and register, take the 2 minutes, and register by August 15th.
But realistically speaking, you got to have certain parameters. I mean, what type of company? I mean, it's not a concept on the back of a napkin kind of company that you're looking for. You're looking for something that perhaps is already commercialized or something along those lines?
Not necessarily already commercialized, but it has to be beyond kind of an idea or, you know, at least beyond proof of concept. So what we're looking for is we're looking for scalable technology-based businesses that are really pursuing a venture capital path. So we're looking for companies that, you know, this is a competition that can help them get started and put them on the path to raising capital from investors, whether it's angel investors or venture capital investors down the road. And a lot of companies that have participated in the past 9 years have gone on to raise significant capital from both angels and venture capital investors. In fact, companies that have made it to our semi-finalist round have raised over $650 million over the 9 years that this program has been in existence. So what we're looking for, and it's detailed on the website when you hit the registration button, but there are a number of criteria. One, we don't want companies that have already competed in Accelerate Michigan more than once before. So we look for companies that have not received more than $25,000 in prizes in previous competitions. And we're looking for companies that have raised less than $2 million in investment capital and have less than $5 million in revenue. So we're really looking for early stage companies and ones that are on a you know, potential to grow to at least $10 million in revenue within 5 years. So really scalable companies that are on a growth path.
Interesting. And again, the first deadline approaching is August 15th, and that's for what type of company?
Yeah, so all companies that want to apply for Accelerate Michigan must register in advance by August 15th. And it's a very short form that you fill out. It just provides contact details and some limited information on the company. So we want them to register first. It's a free registration. Once they've registered by August 15th, then they have until August 31st to submit their complete application. And it's really the type of information we've tried to make it very simple. And actually this year, in the past, we've had companies upload information into the application. And this year, we're making it very simple. So it's just a number of questions that to be answered about, you know, the market, about the technology, about the team. And so basic things that a company would have already in an executive summary that you would just put in the application material. And that formal application is due by August 31st. So there's kind of two deadlines this year. One is a very simple registration, helps us to know how many companies are actually applying and do that by August 15th. And then by August 31st, submit the complete application, which again is just a form to fill out on our website. So pretty easy.
Okay, and I know that at least in the past, it may have changed, that the top prize was $500,000. Is that still the case?
Yes, it's still the case. $500,000 is the top prize. As in previous years, that top prize is structured as $400,000 of investment capital. So it's an actual investment in the company. And that comes from some really generous sponsors that we have, including Ann Arbor Spark, who puts in $250,000 of that top prize. Invest Michigan, who puts in $100,000 of the top prize. And then Invest Detroit puts in, $50,000 of that top prize. So that's $400,000 in investment capital and $100,000 grants. So combined $500,000 top prize, as we've done the last few years.
Now, in years past, how many companies have applied, and then how do you cull that down? When we get down to the semifinalists, it goes from what number to what number?
Yeah, so in years past, we typically have about 200 companies that apply every year. But in the past, at least the past 2 or 3 years, it's been a $100 application fee. So only companies that paid that fee were able to apply. We think we'll see a lot greater than 200 companies, particularly because it is a free registration and free application to the competition. So my feeling is we'll probably double the amount of applications that we usually see. And so I would expect to see about 400 applications this year. Because it's such a simple form to fill out this year, that I think we'll see drastically greater numbers than we've had in past years. Now, after the initial review of the applications, and that's all done online by venture capitalists around the state that help us with the judging, we score all of those companies. And then we'll be announcing on October 3rd the semifinalist companies that will go on to pitch at the actual event, at the Accelerate Michigan event, which is being held on November 13th. So this year, we're planning on announcing 24 semifinalists for the actual event that'll be pitching live to investor judges. And so that's that 400 and app or so applications will be reduced to about to 24 companies by October 3rd.
Mm-hmm. All right. So tell me a little bit about the press release calls the Accelerate Michigan competition a program of ID Ventures. Can you tell me anything about ID Ventures? What are they?
Yeah, absolutely. So ID Ventures is the venture arm of Invest Detroit. So Invest Detroit is an organization that's really focused on being an economic catalyst in Detroit and the surrounding region. We are the venture team of Invest Detroit. So ID Ventures stands for Invest Detroit Ventures. So on our part of the team, while the rest of Invest Detroit focuses on really helping all types of businesses, whether it's, you know, real estate in the city or commercial lending to manufacturing companies or retailers in the city of Detroit. Our focus on the venture team on ID Ventures is purely focused on startup technology companies. And whereas Invest Detroit is focused purely on the city of Detroit, on the venture team, we take a statewide focus because we're focused on building the region. We think that that's going to, by building up technology companies throughout the state, that's going to have benefits in Detroit, and so we focus on statewide programs. So all of our programs from ID Ventures are on our website at investdetroit.vc.
Okay. I was looking at the press release, and it says on November 13th, you're going to be having the event at the newly iconic Lexus Velodrome. I must be behind my times. I'm not exactly sure where that is. Where is that?
Yeah, it is. It's a one-of-a-kind facility. We're really excited to announce that this year, that we're having it at the Lexus Velodrome. So it is right in Midtown Detroit. It's on Martin Luther King Avenue or Mack Avenue, just east of Woodward, pretty close to Whole Foods over there. And it's actually right next to I-75 and Mack is the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new facility. It's a one-of-a-kind cycling velodrome that hosts cycling competitions indoors. It's kind of a big bubble facility. And so it's a one-of-a-kind facility. It's one of the only ones of its kind in the United States. They have them around the country and around the globe. But I think only one of maybe just two or three in the United States. The person who builds them around the world is actually a resident of Detroit, or grew up in Detroit, and really wanted to put this facility in the city that he loved. So actually put together this plan and built it right in the city of Detroit. So it is a fantastic facility. It's a one-of-a-kind type of facility. And actually, because of the way that facility is structured, it's allowing us to do things that we haven't done before with Accelerate Michigan, because we have so much space that we can use at that facility. We're going to have a lot more companies pitching at one time, which is really going to compress the day's event for Accelerate Michigan and make it move a lot faster. And not only that, is this year, we're actually, instead of just companies, we're actually going to be doing a lot more facilitated conversations and matchmaking with investors and partners and customers for the companies. So the companies that do participate as semifinalists in Accelerate Michigan, not only will they be pitching on stage and pitching in front of people, but we're also setting aside, because of the uniqueness of this facility and the way that we can kind of have these matchmaking sessions, we're going to do a lot of facilitated matchmaking and make sure that they really get a lot of value out of meeting with one-on-one meetings with investors, customers, and other types of partners. And that's something new for this year that we haven't done in the past. So we're really excited about that.
Okay. We're just about at the end of the segment and the show. So Martin, tell us one more time how people can get more information about registering for the Accelerate Michigan Business Plan Competition.
Yeah, absolutely. So companies can visit acceleratemichigan.org to complete a 2-minute registration form. It's very easy, and they must do it by August 15th to be eligible for that $500,000 grand prize.
All right. Martin Dober from Invest Detroit. I want to thank you for being on the show today. I want to thank all of our guests today. Martin Dober from Invest Detroit. Tel Gannison from Tie Detroit and TieCon Detroit 18. Ahmed Alamari from CyberNewer talking about the latest in the database cloud from Oracle. And Michael Scholl from AutoCom kicked off the show talking about the management briefing seminars in Traverse City and its debut of Mike's new video venture.
Yeah, MI Tech News TV starts next week.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks to all our guests. guest. Thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with a semi-special edition, I guess, of the M Squared TechCast. Mike will be up in Traverse City at the Management Briefing Seminars. I'll be here holding down the fort with three folks from my employer, Lawrence Technological University.
And, of course, Jessica, who we keep wanting to get on the Jessica cam, but no, she Jessica keeps turning cam. Us down all the time. I don't know what's up with that.
She's not going to say a word.
She's not going to comment. That'll encourage us to continue, right?
All right. Until next week, we'll be right back. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.